You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Good morning, Redemption Church family. I'm Pastor Jim. I'm your pastoral care pastor. I'd like to take a moment and thank Pastor Jeremy for giving me this opportunity to present a message to you today that will hopefully help you handle challenging situations in your lives a little better. Now, have you ever had a moment in your life when you asked this question, why God? In early December, my father-in-law went grocery shopping, something he'd done probably thousands of times in his life. But unfortunately, on this day, he fell in the parking lot and he broke his right hip and his right elbow. And over 4 months, as I visited him in the hospital and in a rehab center, he asked this question many times, why God? And sadly, about 3 weeks ago, my dad, even though his hip was fixed and his elbow was fine, he had a weak heart and he passed away. And so those of us who loved him, family and friends, were kind of going through our own why God moment. And I want to share with you, I was blessed to have a wonderful father-in-law for 30 years. He's such a wonderful guy. We never had a cross word in 30 years. He loved me. He supported me. You know, it's hard to lose somebody that you love. It's also difficult to go through a divorce or to lose a job or to have financial difficulties or to get sick. There are many moments in our life where we may just want to ask, why God? And these tend to be some of the most important moments in our lives. And how we respond to those moments will have a very important impact on the direction our lives will take. If we get angry at God and we decide to turn away from him, or are we going to turn towards God and let him know how we're feeling at that moment? Now, in the Bible, we see a why God moment in the book of Job. Now, the book of Job is in the Old Testament, just before the book of Psalms, kind of right in the middle of the Old Testament there. And we're going to be looking at chapter 1, starting in verse 13. But let me just take a moment and set this up. In Job's day, wealth was determined by the number of animals you had. And Job had an enormous number of oxen and donkeys and sheep and camels. He also had many, many servants, and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Then a catastrophe occurred, and he lost everything that was near and dear to him. So let's take a look at Job chapter 1, verse 13. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, kind of business as usual. And isn't it interesting how why God moments are kind of suddenly kind of things? So they're drinking and having their normal day, and then suddenly occurs, starting in verse 14. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. Talk about a why God moment in his life. Can you imagine how Job felt at that moment? How would you have responded if you were in Job's place? Now, Job's first response is understandable. Let's take a look at this together in verse 20. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Can you blame him after experiencing such great loss? You know, sometimes when I have a why God moment, well, you just saw what I do. Sometimes I'll cry. All right, I'm a guy. I'm not supposed to cry. But guess what? I do. All right? And some people would prefer to have an ice cream binge or a Netflix binge or go for a walk in the woods. You know, we can deal with these in many different ways. But what came next got my attention. And every once in a while, there's a scripture that just stops me dead in my tracks. And this is one of those. Check this out. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. In spite of all his loss, during his "Why God" moment, Job chose to worship and praise the Lord. And as I meditated on this, I thought, if during my "Why God" moments, if I would choose to worship and praise the Lord, it could change everything. See, Job got better, not bitter. Now, Job, like most of us, was surrounded by people, family and friends, who were happy to offer opinions, you know, kind of what they thought about his situation. And so let's take a look at kind of three typical responses to "Why God" moments that occur when we turn to people first for their responses. All right? And so Job had three friends that kind of came from afar that kind of wanted to be with him during this moment when everything was kind of going so poorly for him. And what they brought was judgment. The first typical response is judgment. All right, so let's take a look at what the three friends had to say to him. In Job 4, 8 and 9, it says, "As I observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. At the breath of God, they are destroyed. At the blast of his anger, they perish." And in Job 5, 17, "Blessed is the man whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty." And in Job 34, 11, "He repays a man for what he has done. He brings upon him what his conduct deserves." And essentially what his friends are saying, you must have done something to deserve what happened to you. Judgment. Now, we do this to ourselves sometimes, don't we? Where something bad happens, I must have done something that caused this to happen in my life. We judge ourselves. But also other people do that as well. They kind of, even if they don't say it, they think it, I must have done something wrong to deserve something so bad happening. Now think about the "Why God" moments you've had in your life. What's the last thing you need at that moment? It's judgment. Now, listen, bringing a word of correction is not a bad thing. But at the moment of a "Why God" moment is not the time to bring correction or judgment. Right? So the second typical response is blaming God. It's all God's fault. So God might have allowed something difficult to happen, but that doesn't necessarily mean he caused it. All right. For example, many of the things that happen in the world are the result of sin. Yesterday, somebody thought that it was a good idea to go into a synagogue and shoot a rabbi and people who are worshiping in the synagogue. I don't get it. I just don't understand. People who would go shoot the people of God, you know, the apple of his eye. It just breaks my heart when I see something like that. And also, we know we live in a fallen world under the curse of sin, so bad things are going to happen. But God is at work at redemption to our broken world, all right? But if we're really humble and really honest, we have things happen in our lives that we just cannot explain. And we will not understand on this side of eternity. I tell you, one of those is what happened yesterday. Somebody going to shoot people in a synagogue. I don't understand that. And number three, the third typical response is bitterness. And we see this from Job's wife. So Job's wife's advice to him is, curse God and die. All right. Now, before we're too tough on Job's wife, let's just remember, she just lost 10 children and all her wealth as well. But she was very bitter. And what happens when we turn to people first in a "Why God" moment, we'll get their feelings and their emotions and all of those kinds of things, their opinions, everything kind of mixed up in there. And I'm going to kind of share with you just a little bit later kind of a better place to turn first than the people around us here. So I remember a moment 25 years ago, Sue and I were just about to move from Chicago to Armagh, and we're about 1 week away from that move, and we were parked at a stoplight behind a truck. And I saw a car a couple hundred yards back come over a hill, and I said to Sue, "I don't think that car is going to stop." And I put my arm in front of her just to kind of protect her. And sure enough, that car plowed right into the back of us and pushed our car right into the trunk as well. Now, I'd like to tell you that I responded with love and grace and mercy at that moment. But I was angry. I had enough on my plate. I was moving in a week, and now I just got smashed, all right? And so, to tell you the truth, I need to ask for forgiveness for how I responded at that moment. But I'll tell you, I was mad at the person who hit me. I was mad at God for not protecting me. And you could define kind of where I was. It was just a place of bitterness at that moment. Now, nobody got hurt. The car got fixed in a week. And I was just saying to Sue this morning, it just occurred to me that that car was hundreds of yards behind me coming back. And the Lord put that impression on my mind that we were about to get hit. I don't know where that came about, but just this morning, it just occurred to me that was the case. Isn't God good? So I found when you turn to people first, all right, you're going to get kind of a mix of things that are not necessarily the best. All right, I have found in why God moments, it's helpful to hold on to the promises of God. And so let's take a look at what God says in his word. In Job 40, verse 2, it says, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." And what God is saying is, I'm God, you're not. All right? Now, I'll tell you one problem I have when I'm in a why God moment is I'm not in control. All right? And I like being in control. And maybe I'm the only one here that feels that way. But when it comes to my life, I like to be in control. All right? And in why God moments, I'm not. Right? And that's when God reminds me that I'm not in control, all right? I'm not on the throne, he is. And as I thought about that, a certain peace comes with that, because with control comes responsibility, and I really would rather have God be in control of the universe than me, and you would prefer that as well, all right? So that's the first promise is, you know, let's let God be God and let him be in control. And then let's look at the next promise in Joshua 1:5b. I will never leave you or forsake you. You know, God never promised that we wouldn't kind of run into difficulties, but he did say he would be there to go through them with us. Right? And I would tell you that when I'm going through a why God moment, I don't always feel like the Lord is just right there with me. As a matter of fact, I was going through a counseling session a number of years ago, and we were looking kind of back at one of my why God moments in the past. And my counselor said, why don't you just close your eyes and kind of go back to that time and kind of picture kind of where you were there. And so I was doing that. And she said, where's Jesus? And there he was, right at my side. And I tell you, that touched my heart. And even if I don't feel like the Lord is with me, he is. He's right there with me as I go forward. And these things help me when I'm going through a why God moment. And the next is in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways. God's sovereign plan and timing are different from ours, all right? He sees from the perspective of eternity, and of course, I'm looking at today. Now, this frees me up in one area. You know, I'd like to understand everything that's going on. I mean, I'm kind of a logical person, and I think a lot of us are that way, that we want to understand. But this tells me that, you know, God is doing things that I just may not understand. And he may reveal it to me tomorrow or in a year or maybe in 10 years. But it frees me up from having to understand everything that's going on around me. Because sometimes it's just God's working and his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. But it frees me up then to say, it's okay that I don't understand. I'll wait until the Lord does reveal to me what's happening here. And then finally, in Romans 8:38 and 39, we see that nothing will separate us from the love of God. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, when you're getting hit by a car or my father-in-law's fallen in the parking lot, you're not necessarily feeling the love of God that moment, but God is loving you and caring for you at that moment. He's there. And it just gives me peace to know that God is God and I'm not. Let's let him be in control, all right? That he will never leave me or forsake me. He's always at my side no matter what I'm going through. And it's okay if I don't understand everything that's happening, because God is in control, all right? He understands. I don't need to necessarily understand, all right? And then He's loving me. No matter what the circumstance is, he's here and he's loving me. It just helps me to turn to what God says, all right, in these types of moments here. All right, so I'd like to share with you four principles for how we should respond to why God moments. Now, this is a good time to take some notes. So when you arrived, you should have gotten some note paper or go to the Redemption app. We got a nice note section there. And I'd like to just kind of share with you some practical principles of things and in a why God moment it's good to do. First, turn to God. Speak with him and listen to him. Now, we saw what the results were if the first thing we do is we just turn to the people around us, which, by the way, is kind of the most natural thing to do. All right, I'm asking you to do something a little supernatural here. When you have a why God moment, and when I have a why God moment in the future, I want to, instead of responding immediately, let me just go to a quiet place for a minute and just say, okay, Lord, I want to let you know I am angry right now, or I am hurt right now. Listen, God can take it, all right? But I want to share with him kind of what I'm feeling in that moment. And then ask, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? What is this about? Now, the Lord may not always answer me at that moment, but at least I've put him first. And by the way, I was just reading Bill Johnson's book. He said, by the way, God is first and there is no second, okay? My love for my wife just comes from my love of God. It flows into her. Most people would say she's second. Okay, nope, there's only one first, okay? So God, we go there first. Okay, we go there first. Now, I'll tell you, when I've done this, the Lord can kind of bring back a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy. He can give me a little bit of a different perspective on a moment. Because I tell you, in a why God moment, my natural first response is almost always a wrong one, right? So it's just good to take a quiet moment and go and be with the Lord. So after we turn to God, the second thing we need to do is trust God, all right? In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, we never know how God is working in our circumstances. And he might not have caused the thing that happened, but he can redeem it and repurpose it for his glory. Now, I want to share with you, at the end of November, my publishing career of 41 years ended rather abruptly. I was planning to work another year and a half until I was 65 years old. But my company went through a reorganization and hundreds of positions were eliminated, and mine was one of those. Hey, it's the first time I went through that in 41 years, so I thought it was a pretty good track record. Now, to tell you the truth, that was a why God moment for me. I had feelings about that. But God had other plans for my time and my talents. The next week, my father-in-law fell in a parking lot. And he needed me for that next 4 months in a way that he had not needed me before. Also, Pastor Jeremy asked me to take on the pastoral care role here in the church, which I love. But I could not have done either of those things well if I was working a full-time job, and God knew that. Now, I was fortunate. This was a why God moment that God just answered right away. Next week, I knew why it had happened and had great peace about it as go along. So we're going to turn to God first. We're going to trust God. And then third, we're going to forgive. We're going to forgive God, we're going to forgive others, and we're going to forgive ourselves. What happens in a why God moment, we sometimes will develop something in our heart, a feeling about God that isn't quite right. Now, God doesn't need our forgiveness, all right? But if we have something in our heart that's kind of blaming him, it's good to get to a place where you forgive him. And if somebody else has hurt us and is kind of causing that why God moment, we need to forgive them. And sometimes the hardest person to forgive of all is ourselves. But if we're seeing ourselves as the cause of that why God moment, we need to forgive ourselves. Now, let me share that during a why God moment, the last thing we want to do is forgive sometimes. When I got hit by that car, I was not in a forgiving state of mind. There's no question about that. But we don't ask for forgiveness or give forgiveness because we feel like it. We give forgiveness because we want to be obedient to the Lord. I have found that we cannot get to the other side of why God moments until we forgive. You've got to do that. It's a really important step. And then fourth, let's bring our why God moments into the light. You know, sometimes we store our why God moments in our hearts and do not let anyone know they're there. They act like a poison in our life. And one remedy is to share our feelings about that moment with a trusted brother or sister in the Lord. Now, I found when I do this, that why God moment begins to lose its power over me and the healing process begins. When I was young, I struggled mightily at school. The first 5 years, bad. Matter of fact, my fourth grade teacher called my mom in and they were going to hold me back a year. And of course, there's all kinds of feelings that come around with that. Now, some of this was attention deficit disorder. I was a very highly energetic child. And so when I see some of your children bouncing out of children's church, I can relate, all right? And but I also needed glasses, right? Something as simple as that can make a difference in your life. And from sixth grade through college, I was almost always at the top of my class. I did very, very well. But there was a shame that came with those first 5 years. And I shared in high school with a friend who had gone through grade school and now going through high school with me. I kind of shared some of my feelings about that. And it was interesting. When I brought that into the light, you know, he just listened. He didn't have any comments, but it kind of lost its power. That shame was gone at that point. Now, wouldn't you know, about 2 weeks later, Tim and I are walking back from Notre Dame High School, and we're cutting through the Nelson Grade School area. And my fourth grade teacher had moved from St. Isaac Jokes to Nelson. Now, I didn't know that. There was no reason I should know that. But she had, and she was just walking out there. And Tim goes to her, "Hey, Mrs. McDonough. This is Jimmy Fagan." Now, remember, I haven't seen her since fourth grade. I'm now a junior in high school. He's at the top of his class, right? And Mrs. McDonough smiled and said, "I'm glad to hear that," all right? Now, that was a healing moment, all right, that, to tell you the truth, I needed, all right? Now, I have my 50th reunion coming up on August 31st. Who's really looking forward to that? Not. But I tell you, I feel different about that reunion now that I've kind of healed in this area. And I think that's going to be a very, very special time, and I'm looking forward to it. So let's turn to God. Let's trust Him. Let's forgive God and others and ourselves, and let's bring our why God moments into the light. What happens when we respond in this way? Well, first of all, God redeems. All right, God will use our why God moments, we go through them, and He will bring other people into our life that are going through similar situations, and He will allow us to have mercy and empathy and just be able to help people in that area. Now, the Lord is speaking in Job 42:8 to one of the three friends that spoke to Job. And remember, these three friends were not terribly helpful. They were just bringing judgment down on Job. So this is the Lord speaking to one of them. He said, "My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly." So God is using Job to pray so that he will not have to deal with the three friends. Right, now, let me share with you something about forgiveness. When you are praying for somebody, that's kind of a step in the right direction to where your heart is getting right and you're going to be able to forgive. So the Lord knows, you know, He wants Job to forgive those three friends for kind of what they were saying. And it's interesting that, you know, in my life, as you might imagine, the Lord has, with all my struggles in school, the Lord has given me a real heart for kids who sometimes struggle in school as well. And here's the revelation the Lord has given me, all right? And I don't have any children, so I can just share a revelation here and you can all throw it away if you want. But I've discovered that all of our kids are uniquely and specially gifted, right? They're all different. Three children, same parents, couldn't be more different, okay? I've observed that. Now, you probably observe it and know it all day because you all have children here. And really, our role is then to nurture those gifts and take them to that next level, all right? I had one of my best buddies who I love dearly. He looked awfully sharp in his new suit last Easter. And I need to tell you, he may be on the way to Juilliard. This guy is a performer. I love this guy. He has a heart for performance. But his younger brother could be an engineer. You never know, all right? But it's those gifts that we recognize. Now, that's something that God kind of put in my heart. Just love kids and recognizing their gifts and just knowing how special they are, all right? Now, God also, He redeems, but God also restores. In Job 42, verses 10 and 12, after Job had prayed for his friends, so first, prayed for his friends, kind of that step of forgiveness, which is important, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, All right? 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. Listen, he was already, before the catastrophe struck, the wealthiest, the greatest man in the East. Now he has twice as much. Isn't that the God that we serve? He just restores. Now, in my life, I have found God sometimes restores financially, and he will do that. Right? Sometimes he'll restore in the spiritual realm, where he'll take you to a next level in the spiritual realm. Sometimes the form of restoration is a friend with a kind word just when you needed it. God can restore in so many different ways, but he's a great God, and he not only redeems, but he restores. Now, what I'd like to share with you now is a testimony from a woman that I just admire so greatly. She brings the word of God to not thousands, not hundreds of thousands, but millions of people each year. And she's very well respected and a powerful, powerful preacher. But when she was growing up, she had a why God moment that most of us don't even want to think about. Her father started to abuse her at a very young age, and that continued until she moved away at the age of 18. And I'm just going to share her testimony with you right now. Okay? This is Joyce Meyer.
Why didn't God help me? I was praying. I was asking him. I was this innocent little kid being abused. Well, you know what? I don't have the answers to all that, but I can tell you that by faith I now understand. That's why that scripture that I shared last night about by faith we understand how the world was made. You know, I can't explain it to you in my mind, but I know that God didn't get me out of it, but he did give me the strength to go through it. God had a plan. And I cannot explain this to you, so don't even ask me to. But for years I said, of course, I wish that I would have never been abused. But God has helped me recover. And about 3 years ago, I said that, but of course, I wish I wouldn't have been abused. And God stopped me. He said, stop saying that. And then I thought about it, and I thought, and I know this sounds crazy, but I'm glad it happened. You know why? Because I'm a better person now than I ever would have been. I don't know how to make any sense out of that, but I know that I know that I know that God has redeemed me, and he has taken what Satan meant for harm and worked it out for good. That I would have been had it not happened. And you can be too. I'm stronger. I know God better. I understand people's pain. And I believe that it's made me able to reach out to you in your pain and your need. And to tell you with all passion, God is alive. He loves you. He's got a good plan for your life, and don't you ever doubt that. Don't ever doubt that. Can you recover? You're looking at somebody who did. Amen. You're looking at the evidence that you can recover. Lift you out. He will set your feet on a rock. He will give you a wonderful life. He will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He will make you a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And he will give you a double blessing for your farmer trouble. Come on, give God praise.
You know, last week, Gloria gave her testimony, and now you see Joyce's. Our testimonies have power, especially when those testimonies come from why God moments. Now, her why God moment lasted for more than 10 years. I can't even imagine how that happened. But do you notice that she prayed? She turned to God first, and she stayed focused on the Lord during that time, right? And she trusted God through faith. She can't explain it in words, but she just knows, she knows that God made something in every way horrible into something good, all right? God did that because Joyce loves him, and Joyce has been called according to his purpose, just as we love the Lord, and we've all been called to his purpose. All right? Now, it's earlier on in his testimony, I didn't want to have too long a video, there's a place where the Lord asked Joyce to move her father and mother close by. And they're getting older, they need to be taken care of. And, you know, Joyce's first response is similar to the response I would have had. God, are you crazy? All right? But then she, you know, really hears from the Lord, and in obedience, she brings her mom and dad close. And she takes care of them. And for 3 years, she says, her dad was still mean as a rattlesnake. Okay? But on Thanksgiving Day, she gets a call from her mom and says, your dad's been crying for a couple of weeks, and I think he needs to see you. And so Joyce went over to see her dad, and he says, listen, I've been wanting to say this for 3 years. I'm so sorry about what I did to you. Can you forgive me? And in Joyce's heart, she began to forgive him. And then she led him to the Lord. And he was baptized a few weeks later. Only God can redeem and restore like that. It's just such great power. And I want that in all of our lives. And let me just share with you also that Joyce brought her why God moment into the light. Now some why God moments are a little difficult to bring into light. Hers, all right, has to be one of the most difficult, right? But in doing that, you can see that it's healed her heart. And just as important, it's touched the lives of thousands and millions of hurting people who are exposed to the Word of God because they know it's real. They can see it in her life. After all that she's been through, and she loves God still, and so much, they know that it's real and it's true, all right? And so that is powerful. And for all of us, by the way, when we bring our why God moments in light, that's a testimony moment, no question about it. So I want to close by just asking, do any of us have any why God moments in our hearts that are kind of getting in the way of our destiny, getting towards what the Lord has for us? Because if we do, I'd like us just to take those to the Lord and lay them at his feet. It's okay to tell him how you feel about that. God, after 20 years, it still makes me mad. It's okay. Remember, he can take it. But let's give it to the Lord, all right? And let's trust that God will make something good out of that, all right? And then let's forgive. And this is the hardest thing sometimes. Let's forgive God. If we're blaming God, let's forgive others. Or let's forgive ourselves, right? And by the way, we're all hurting people. We've all had why God moments, but I just want to make sure if anything's getting in the way of your destiny, let's deal with that, all right? And then bring our why God moments into the light. Now, this is a really important step as well, because it really does bring a release and a freedom. And now, I want to share that if you have a trusted brother or sister in the Lord, boy, they're a great gift, aren't they? But if you don't, boy, isn't it great that you're redemption, because we have a church full of people that are ready to kind of be your friend here. Join a life group. Become a part of the team. Meet some people, all right? And in my pastoral care role, if you want to know what the definition of my role is, all right, it's to listen to people who have moments like this. And by the way, if you come to me, all right, I want to let you know, when you are sharing a why God moment, you're not necessarily looking for input from the person you're speaking to. You're just getting it out there, getting it into the light, all right? And so you may not get a response from me. Unless the Lord gives me a word, then I will, all right? Now, I will share with you, the Lord let me practice this on Friday. My wife was sharing with me a why God moment. I have been married to her, it'll be in December, 30 years. And I know when Sue is sharing a why God moment with me, she really just wants two things. She wants me to kind of listen. She's not looking for input. And she wants compassion and for me to be on her side in that moment. And on Friday, I'll report, I failed again. Boy, I'm trying to explain things. I'm involved. I'm trying to come up with answers. Okay, so if you come to me, I'm not going to maybe be perfect, okay? But at least I'm going to try. But listen, let's be that kind of friend for each other. Let's be able to take our why God moments to each other and just be able to get those frustrations out there and then be healed as we go forward. And that's what I pray for each of us here. So let me just say that my dream is that all of us, did you notice, by the way, at the end, Joyce is praising the Lord, just like Job did. Let's worship and praise God. And I pray when we're in work, God, in our why God moments, that we will worship and praise God and let Him begin to heal us. All right? So let us pray. Lord God, I am just so blessed by what You're doing in the lives of every person here in this church family. But Lord, if there's something in our lives, Lord, that we just need to release to You, I pray that You will give us the courage to give it to You, Lord, and to trust You, Lord. And I pray, Lord, I know that You will make something good of these things. Help us, Lord, to be forgiving people, Lord. Help us to forgive You, even though You don't need it, Lord, to forgive others and forgive ourselves. And Lord, help us to bring these why God moments into light. And Lord, we know that going forward that there are going to be difficult moments. But Lord, we now know how to handle them. We're going to turn to You first. And we thank You for Your great love, Lord. And I pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.